In line with all that God is doing, and I was also praying, I said, Lord, what could we speak on this anniversary? What can we remind? An anniversary is a time where we've been teaching, praying, fasting, teaching, praying, fasting. And an anniversary, we sit back and say, okay, this is where we're going. This is what we like to do, and which is different from the first Sunday of every year, where we seek to get a lost mind on what is the year ahead. And we're already halfway through the year. The church was founded on July the 4th, and 3 years ago. And so we, praise God, that was our first Sunday meeting. And so as I prayed about it, I want to talk about, in line with what Pastor David talked about, growing and what we need to do. So his part is, he's a whip master. Get everybody there. And I'd like to also point to the direction that we are going and where we are heading. So today, my message, he is a prophetic message, I have the apostolic message. A message that I have is our Father's dream. Who is our Father? Our Heavenly Father. And we are the generation that will most likely see the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If not, for some of you, we'll be the generation that train the next generation to see the Lord's coming. And as we come nearer, after 2,000 years of church history, we need to remember that at the receiving end, we always on our side say, Jesus coming, Jesus coming. But remember who is receiving us on the other side. God, our Father. And we always think about this life so much, our need of success, our need of material things, our need of love, comfort, emotional stability. We humans got many needs. But have we spare a moment for our Father's dream? What our Father God's expectation is? What our Father is longing to see of us, His children? What our Father is looking forward to receive from us as we come to complete this church journey on earth after 2,000 years. And speaking in terms of our little church here, the church throughout the whole body of Christ, what are the things that our Father dreamed? And as I talk about our Father's dream, I want to also mention and ask these little few questions in this time of anniversary. Who is the closest person to you? Some of you would say your spouse, and which you need to be close to your spouse, of course. And or some of you, your family members, your best friends in the Lord, somebody that you have come to know, whom you trust, your prayer partners, or whosoever. But I believe that if we really follow the Bible and we really understand the Bible, and if we were capable of living every promise in the Bible, fulfilling every commandment of God, the closest person in your life will be God our Father. He said, why not the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit? I'll explain why. In order to get to God, you have to go to Jesus. So you do need to go to Jesus and then get to the Father. And in order to know the Father, you have to know Jesus. So that's part of the equation. And then in order to experience Jesus and know Jesus, you need the Holy Spirit, because He's not invisible. He's not in the spirit world. And to experience Him and know Him and understand even His teachings that are recorded for us, we need the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus has appointed, and He sent the Holy Spirit to teach us, guide us, and watch over us, keep us until He comes again. But the Bible did say that when He comes again, in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, that after Jesus finished everything, Jesus will turn it to the Father. And so if we really understand, we will ask this question. Well, I talk about our Father's dream. Well, Let's ask Jesus and say, Jesus, what is your vision and dream? There are many things recorded. But you know what our Jesus' dream is? That we would know the Father. Think about it. You can summarize everything that Jesus said and done. If you want to summarize it in one sentence, you say, Jesus wants us to know the Father. Because He came in order for us to get to know the Father. And in every prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray, and in every prayer that Jesus Himself prayed, He prayed to the Father. The Lord's Prayer is directional to the Father. In every prayer that the apostles prayed, it was not to the Lord Jesus. It was to the Father. Paul's prayers are recorded in the Bible. Do you see one time when he prayed to Jesus? No. He always prayed to the Father because he knew why Jesus came. And it does not short-circuit, diminish our relationship with Jesus when we say that the closest person is our Father. Because if you are able to make God the Father the closest person in your life, Jesus will be smiling beside you because He succeeded. He succeeded. And He knows there's no way we could know the Father without Him. In fact, in His prayer, He said in John chapter 17, verse 3, this is eternal life. Eternal life is not a ticket to heaven. He said, this is eternal life. To know the true God. That is our Father and Jesus Christ whom He sent Himself. And then He tells us in John 17 verse 24 in His prayer. He says, His desire is that we may be with Him where He is. Now He was talking to the Father. So while He talked to the Father in John 17, He says, I desire that they be where I am. They be with me. And where was Jesus and where is Jesus? To see His glory. What is His glory? John chapter 1 verse 18 says, He is the only begotten Son in the bosom of our Father. And that was where He returned to. So there's a place that Jesus has that He wants us to be in the exact place where His relationship is with the Father and then all of creation. So if we ask Jesus, Jesus, what is your dream for the church? Jesus would say that you all would through me know the Father. And if we ask the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit's dream for us? The Holy Spirit will answer that you all will understand everything that Jesus Christ has come to do and bring. And in the end, at the equation is the Father. That's why the closest person, if you really live your life the way Jesus wants you to live, in your life, if you succeed as a true Christian of the standard of the Bible, if you succeeded in everything that Jesus wanted in this life for us, the closest person in your life will be God our Father. Of course, knowing Him through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. But the Father doesn't feel that many of us are close to Him. Of course, in the early sense, we need to be close to those who are family members, our loved one, our spouse. But spiritual goals are higher than natural goals. Even marriage in this life is only in this life. When this life is over, even marriages disappear. They neither marry nor are given in marriage in heaven. In all of eternity, the goal is to know the Father. And I want you to know, that's my goal. That's my goal. And I hope and pray that that will be your goal. that the older we grow year by year in our anniversary, the older we grow year by year in our natural age, that at the peak of our lives, even before we are close enough to meet Him, we would have said, through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus, we really know the Father. And that's why today I'm going to talk about our Father's dreams. I love our Father. I really love our Father God. And in terms of training, we would love to train you how to meditate so that you could enter into a place where you're literally seated in the heavenly places with Jesus in the bosom of the Father. Experiencing all of the Father's love. Knowing the nature of our Father. Feeling the heartbeat of our Father. That's our Father. Father God. And the Bible says when the Holy Spirit has come, we will call Him Abba Father. Abba is a very intimate Aramaic word, which is equivalent to Daddy in the Western language, to Papa in most of our Asian way, or we say a pa. It's a very intimate expression of really coming to know God, who is the true giver of all life, and the one whom Jesus wants us to know. And sometimes when we relate to Christians, we see some of them, all they knew was Jesus. And I could see that sometimes they are shortchanged. Yes, they will grow. They will come to this life. But when I sometimes hear people praying, people conversing, and I know that without diminishing the glory of Jesus, I know that they don't really know the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is that we will become so much in Him that we will know the Father like He knew. To do the works that Jesus did, we must know the heart of the Father. Because Jesus says in John 14, the works that I do, it is not I who do it, but it's my Father in me. Did Jesus knew the Father? Yes. Why did Jesus come? To show us the Father. In the Old Testament, for 4,000 odd years, the people did not know God the Father. Although the Father did reveal Himself, did train them in many ways through His commandments, rebuke them, discipline them, they never came to know the Father. And then the New Testament, Jesus came. He showed us what the Father is like. There's still discipline. There's still punishment for sin. There's still chastisement. Whom He loved, He chastised. So there's discipline too. But behind it all is this loving Father. Let me take our Bruce Lim as an example. Today's name is Bruce. And he's a disciplinary man. All the children, I'm sure, love the daddy, right? And even if you hesitate to say don't. Right. Now, think about it. If you have all the discipline and the children did not know that the Father loved them, the whole thing would have gone, correct? And from the recipient of the discipline, you can only take the discipline if you know the person disciplining you really love you and man well. If the person disciplining you doesn't love you and don't mean well, you'll be the first to run away. Which happened out in this life too. And the same way I know sometimes Christians play judge and Christians become Pharisees and they're self-righteous. In my life, I've received discipline from people and I've disciplined people before. But sometimes when I discern that the heart of the people in what they're trying to do is discipline without love or punishment. They want to punish you for your sins, not to help you, to redeem you, but to satisfy some sort of pharisaic, egoistic, self-righteous sense of satisfaction that justice has been done. Doesn't matter whether you die. Doesn't matter whether you come true. They are interested not in you, but their sense of their own judgment. That justice has been served. It doesn't matter if you are you're completely thrown to the gutters. They said, at least the world knows what is right and wrong. If we only have that, we miss the point of why God wrote this Bible. Why God gave this Bible? Because do you know that almost every man whom we admire greatly in the Old Testament have broken commandments enough to put them to death, to satisfy justice? According to Moses himself, one who murders deserves to die. Moses has murdered somebody. Bible tells us to be honest. Abraham have told lies. Bible tells us not to murder. David had committed murder and also adultery. Every man of God whom we look up to have flaws in their life. Was God interested to satisfy his justice? If that was all God was satisfied, the Bible would have ended with the book of Malachi. He did not need to show anything more. But God knew that we must know what is behind all the chastising. That is why the New Testament came, and God says, the reason all these things are done is so that he will free us from the mud and the destruction of sin and enter into the holiness that he wanted us to through the revelation of his love for us. And many of us who could not be changed, you might have even gone to prison 100 times, you might have been disciplined and caned and whipped and tortured, and yet you could not change. Hardened criminals who have killed many people, robbed many people, sent to prison, became very hard, and you know a person can be hard, their face is hard, their character is hard. But prison couldn't change them. Society cannot change them. Laws cannot change them. Governments cannot change them. But when they had one glimpse of the love of our Father, many hardened criminals we know have melted like snow in the sun, like butter on a hot plate. Because they saw that behind it all, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So my friends, brethren, behind everything is a God and Father who says, I want my people to know me. That's why I sent Jesus. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so that we would know Jesus and experience him. The closest person that you should aim to know is the Father. Now, once you have the aim, you will know you got to get to know Jesus. And you will know you need the feeling of the Holy Spirit to experience Jesus. Those two are automatic when your goal is correct. Setting a goal is important. When you drive in a strange city, in a strange country, and you have a GPS or a map, you must identify exactly where you want to go. Not just a general area. When you know exactly where you want to go, you can plot your path towards a goal. Spiritually, we must know exactly what God the Father wants. And I can summarize the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation with one phrase. God wants us to know himself, the Father. Jesus was part of that revelation. Holy Spirit was part of the gifting. But to know the Father is eternal life. And these are our Father's dream for us. Our Father's dream I'll just quote the Bible verses for lack of time. Number one, he dreams that we will be like his son Jesus. Romans chapter 8. Tells us in verse 28, 29, 30, whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified tells us that it is his plan that we all be in the image of his son, Jesus. That's the Father's dream. Dreams that we will all be exactly like Jesus. And even more in the last days as we grow more and more, that Jesus will definitely be manifested in our life. Number two, our Father's dream is that we would be faithful while on earth, walking with the guardian and our caretaker, our protector, and our helper assigned to us. While Jesus has his work, God the Father has his plans, he has given us the Holy Spirit. And that you take from John chapter 14 and Revelation chapter 22, among the last few verses. Jesus says in John 14, he does not want us to be orphans. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit to me is also, in a sense you can say, he's closer than any human being. I believe the goal of any true Christian is to make God so real in their life that even though God is spirit and he cannot be touched in a physical way, he cannot be known in a physical way, yet he still can be the closest person on earth. And that would include the Holy Spirit, whom you can't see, whom you can't touch. But every man of God who has demonstrated the power of God in this life have always been able to at least make an understanding of this statement, that the Holy Spirit, whom they yield to, is the closest person on the planet Earth to them. And we need to. He's closer than a physical person. And we need him to be close to us, because in Revelation chapter 22, figuratively speaking, we are holding the hands of the Holy Spirit when the church say, come Lord Jesus. It is not just the church say, the Spirit and the Bride said together, come. Not just the church say come, not just the Spirit say come, but the Spirit and the Bride. So in the second point, first is to be like Jesus. The second is to never let go the hand of the Holy Spirit. I illustrate with a hand, although he actually lives in us and we are yielding to him. To be filled with the Spirit is the key. We cannot make it without him. It is just like if you were stuck in the jungle, the one person you would want to have is Pastor David. Right, he'll tell you what you can eat, what you can't eat. And I already got some tips from him. And what to do when I'm in a jungle. It's more not because he tell me. I always ask him, you know. And he tell me, you know, look for palms. Palms can be eaten and certain things. And I was interested, you know. Never know, one day I might end up in jungle. My need. He will be the person I would like to take along with me in a jungle. In a natural way. On this earth, you can't make it without the Holy Spirit. You can never make it in your own strength. You can never make it in a million years. And you don't have a million years. You go only about 70 to 120 years. So you can't make it in a million years without the Holy Spirit. Why try when you go only 70 to 120? Some of us, it's not that you're just born. So some years have passed by, which means you go only about between 10 to 50 years. Say, wow, who, 10 years, who's going to die? No. Don't look around, right? We're not talking about anyone here. But we cannot make it without the Holy Spirit. That's why number two is important. The dream of our Father is But we will never be separated from the Spirit. We'll be so one with the Holy Spirit. There is Him in us and we in Him. And holding the hand of the Holy Spirit, can we pass through the jungles of this earth? Can we pass through the wilderness of this earth safely? Can we endure all the hardship on this earth? That we can endure the high mountains, the deep valleys, and all those things? Only the Holy Spirit. Because if you have Him in you, God's strength is in you. That's a dream of our Father. Third dream of our Father. Ephesians chapter 4. That we will be mature and perfect. Not little children anymore. We will grow up to be a perfect man. We will be perfect. And I like to emphasize the word perfect. The generation that sees the Lord coming. And we're talking about that. Now, all the 2,000 years are passes by. But the generation that is prepared to see Jesus come must believe they can be perfect. You must. You cannot be imperfect to receive Jesus. Again, if you got point one and two, point two tells you it's not your strength but the Holy Spirit, then at least in point three you can accept we will be perfected. And even if you have the Holy Spirit who wants you to be made perfect, if in your mind you don't believe you can be, you can never be. It's just like Jesus had died for our sins. In your mind you don't accept that He had died for your sins. You can never even have it. Jesus died for our sickness. In your mind you don't accept that you can be healed through Him taking our sickness. Of course you can't receive it even if it's yours. And the last generation that sees Jesus must believe we can be perfect. And that generation cannot wear a t-shirt that was an old favorite that says in front, "Be patient with me." At the back, "Because God has not finished yet." Not a bad t-shirt. That generation cannot wear that. Because the generation that wear that will not be ready for Jesus. The generation that welcomes Jesus need to change the t-shirt to say, "I am finished." And the back put, "Because He has finished me and perfected me." So our thinking have to change. We have always said, "You can never be perfect. We can never be perfect." For 2,000 years we tell ourselves, "You cannot be perfect. You cannot be exactly like Jesus. Who in the world can be like Jesus? You cannot be sinless. You cannot be not pure and sinless." And all these things. We keep telling ourselves. We psych ourselves so much that we can't. Just like training for the Siap Games or training for the Olympic Games. We're telling ourselves, "You cannot win the gold medal. Neither can you win the silver medal. Neither can you win the bronze medal. Just be satisfied that you won't be last." So you send the Olympic runner to represent Singapore and his only goal is, "Don't be last." He will never end up winning a medal because he was just aiming so that don't be last. You have to believe that you can be number one. You can win the gold medal. And it's a different thing altogether. And something mentally has to change, something emotionally has to change, so that point number three, our Father's dream, not your dream, not my dream, not even the vision of this church, because this is bigger than us. Our Father's dream is that the generation that is ready for Him will be sinless, perfect, holy, perfect in spirit, soul and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And they are mature exactly like the way God wants us. Number four, our Father's dream is that we become His temple and the body of Christ while on earth. You'll find that in Ephesians at the end of every chapter 1, 2 and 3. We are destined to be the habitation of God. God wants to manifest on the earth. Ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, since God is perfect, we cannot make God singing that song in a sense, but I could assume He assigned an angel to sing, "I have a dream." And then they have a dream. And that dream that is that one day He can come and manifest in mankind. That dream was partly fulfilled when the tabernacle of Moses was built. That dream was more fulfilled when the temple of Solomon was built. But you know, that dream will only truly be fulfilled in the church age, when the true temple of God is built, which is number 4. God dreams a dream. We are all bricks in the temple. And the dream of our God and our Father is that we will be His temple on the earth before we go home, so that God can come and dwell in the temple far greater than the tabernacle of Moses, far greater than the temple of Solomon. Because Jesus says, Himself say, a greater than Solomon is here, pointing to Himself, implying that what He is about to do, we are now His body. Ephesians 5 tells us, without spot, without wrinkle, all ready for His presence to come on the earth one finale and one final time before we go and meet our God face to face in the rapture at the second coming. That's our Father's dream. And number 5, in terms of 5 little areas. There are more than that, but I just want to touch on dreams that our Father would have for our lives. Number 1, to be like Jesus. Number 2, to be one with the Holy Spirit. Number 3, that we will be mature and perfect. Number 4, that we would be His temple. And finally, in number 5, God, our Father, from all eternity, have always been reaching out and wanting us to come into the presence like we have never had before, in the sense that we have all the scriptures that we laid out for you in John 14, John 17, Ephesians 4, Romans 8. And God our Father's most important desire, John 17, again I mentioned, this is verse 3, that we will really know Him as our Father. That we will call Him the way Jesus calls Him. When Jesus calls Father, it means so much. God desires that when we call Him, we really, finally know Him for who He is. That is His longing, that we be His children. He has longed for that ever since He created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve fell. He's longed for a people to call his own sons and daughters in the Lord. Our God has been waiting. He sent prophets. He sent priests. We get distracted. We put the priests, the kings, and the prophets on a pedestal. And then we forgot why God sent them. He sends apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then we put them on a pedestal. We learn from them, good. We honor them, which is worthy. Those who minister in God are worthy to be honored. But then we put them on a pedestal and we cannot see beyond them. We forgot why God sent them. Then for others, they can see beyond the fivefold and they can see Jesus. Some can see the Holy Spirit. And you know why people buy books like Good Morning Holy Spirit, How to Get to Know the Holy Spirit? You know why? Because somewhere along the way, they want to know the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has a way of benefiting their lives on earth. So their vision and their dream is still not complete. And then some of us could see a little further and we see Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Precious Jesus. We create songs about Him. We sing of His beauty. We sing of His glory. We sing of Him being the fairest of 10,000. Oh, the bright and morning star. And it is good. It is wonderful. And these are those that probably are closest to the goal. But they must take one more step. They must look heart to heart with Jesus and really see why Jesus came. And see that Jesus actually wants them to see the Father whom He came to be revealed. And that's what our Father longs for. That we will know Him for who He is. And as we close, I ask you this question. Wouldn't you like to fulfill your papa's dream? And our papa's dream is a good one. Our papa is the one who gave us life. Our papa's dream. Some of you love your father, your parents, your spouse. Take that love and keep it. But take that love and multiply it into a love for our Father. As much as you love your earthly friends, earthly spouse, and earthly father, who love you and would have laid their lives for you, love our Father. Dream His dreams. Dream His dreams. Live His dreams. Every night I go to sleep thinking of our Father. Every morning I get up, I think about our Father. And sometimes I cry because I wonder whether how many people understands His dream. We have a little glimpse when we see the prodigal son's father, who saw his son went astray. And when the prodigal son came back, the father's dream was for the son to be with him, for the son to know him. And when the son came back, the son had some realization and the son wanted to be a servant. But he says, no, you're my son. And he raised him from being wanting to be a servant to being a true son. And sadly, the elder brother came and was angry. The Bible didn't say who he was angry with. We can surmise that he was angry at his brother, but he was also subconsciously angry at his father. Because he also told the father this, "You never gave me these things. I get no chance to get this fatted calf, a party and all this. I've been working hard." And the father says, Everything I have is yours. You could have it every day. And you know what's wrong with the two sons? They both don't know the Father. The one who never went astray didn't know the Father. Didn't know the Father's heart. The one that went astray didn't know the Father. Even when he came back, it was for himself. Because he couldn't stand the food that he was eating. He still didn't know the Father. There's only one third son that knew the Father. The only begotten Son. Jesus. And that Jesus, he gave his life. Not so that we will know him full stop alone. He gave his life so that we will know the Father. Now I ask you, how long have you been a Christian? How many more years will you have to live on this earth? Do you actually know the Father? John 17 verse 3. This is eternal life. To know him. To know the Father. Do you know the Father? If you want to be aspire, like Psalms 8 tells, men who are made a little lower than the angels have the gifting and the potential to grow higher than the angels. Let me tell you one thing. Even angels are still seeking to know the Father. And they marvel at the opportunity given to us to know the Father that we did not grab and take while in this life. Let's pray. Father, Abba Father, to know you is eternal life. Everything that we have in this life is borrowed. Everything that we have in this life is temporary. The relationships that we establish, the things that we have and behold, all these things are borrowed in this life so that we may learn about you. And Father, even as we talk about your dreams, O precious Heavenly Father, our Papa God, Jesus wept, cried, died, and rose again, that we may know you. But countless millions, hundreds of thousands and billions of believers still do not comprehend why Jesus actually came. Billions are thankful that you have washed our sins away by the precious blood. Billions are thankful that you love us and you care for us and you bless us and you help us in this life. But how few really know why you sent Jesus? Because they cannot see beyond their own needs, their own faults, their own flaws. Oh Father, open our eyes that we may see why you sent Jesus. And stir in our hearts and our lives a desire to really seek to know you. To be able to stand in the place where Jesus stands, the only begotten Son in the bosom of the Father. To be able to be filled with the same Spirit that enables Jesus so that we can stand in Jesus and with Jesus. Sit in the heavenly places with Jesus and in Jesus. And look into the face of you, our Heavenly Father. Together, O God, with the decillions of angels that worship the one true Father from the beginning of time, when time was created, when angels were created, when the galaxies and the universe was created, you have opened a doorway for us to behold the glory of the Father in the face of Jesus Christ. So Father, here we are in this little city, in this little place, little fellowship. There's a potential to grow to hundreds of thousands and millions. Help us, Lord, to dream the dreams that you dream for us. Remind us each day when we wake up, each night when we sleep, why you send your Son Jesus. Help us to pray the way Jesus teaches to pray, and not the way man teaches to pray, the way tradition teaches to pray, but truly to call upon you and say, Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, that we will desire after you, Father. That we will pursue you as a hart panther out of the water brooks. That we will rise up and long after you. And we ask, O God, that you will raise up a generation of people who will know you, who will have you, Papa God, as the closest person in the entire universe and on this planet. Because that's why we came. That's why we are here to learn. That's why Jesus came. We love you, Father. We love you, and we want to know you with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise together as we just sing the song, Abba Father. Abba Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be yours and yours alone. Never let my heart grow cold. Never let me go. Up your hands where you are, and this day we want to bless you. I want to bless you with this desire after the Father. Desires and hunger towards God can be contagious, and I want to impart it into your lives. Father, these are your children. No matter how old we are or how young we are, we all stand in the same place. Under the blood of the Lord. Father, we pray, in this anniversary as we celebrate this church in this city, we thank you, Father, that the church has its purpose and its role to help your people to grow. But even more, Father, we want to dedicate our whole church to you. Every program, every leader, every person that is here. And we pray for those who are not here but one day will be a part of us too. And all those programs, activities, and all those teachings, and all those prayer meetings, and all those 24-hour prayer, worship, many other things that this church will bring forth in this nation. Father, we pray that behind everything will always be the driving force to pursue after God, to desire to know this wonderful God who gave us life, who made us and made all the angels, who created us and gave a part of his life into us. Oh, Father, it is you and you alone. We want to know you the way Jesus knows you. And Father, we pray even now that you place upon every single one who considers himself a part of this church and this movement, we pray, God, that even this day, by being here, you would impart a part of your spirit, a part of this hunger for God, a part of this desire for the Father and the knowledge of God. Infuse it into each life. Impart and let your light shine into our hearts, so that forevermore it will be the driving force in this church and in each one of us to pursue you, to run after you, Lord, the way Jesus pursued you. Oh, he was so dedicated in all his 33 years. From a young boy to dying on the cross and raising from the dead, he was completely dedicated to the one purpose of bringing your glory and revelation to us. So, Father, to that end, seal this into our hearts and life. And, Father, touch that leg that needs to be healed of this lady, and touch her, God, the healings that need to be done. Right now, Father, release the healing virtue. And let sicknesses be healed to confirm your word with signs and following. That those who come in not well will leave, touch spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give Jesus a good clap offering. Thank you, Jesus.